The situation was the guy that called, his son has autism.
All right, are you you're gonna like think this is maybe a foreshadowing thing for the future that he might? We've got freedom
of a... I saw a man expose himself.
You blow it!
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, which right there, that makes it rare. It's another news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch, so that makes it even rarer. And we're funny, and that makes it singularly unique in the world of talk radio. Coming up tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where our number is 877-876-PHIL, former Senator Ted Stevens has died in a plane crash. There's a controversial anti-Ground Zero mosque ad that's getting the go-ahead to be placed on New York City buses. Bobby Dooley and Doug Danger will be joining us tonight to talk about the New York City mosque and gay marriage and the overturning of at least the temporary overturning of Prop 8 by a federal judge in the state of California, here in California. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight. In Austin, KJCE, 1370 AM, and in Anchorage, Alaska, KFQD. What is it, bud? Why can't you get... this is about the fifth time in the last 3 weeks I've mentioned Anchorage, Alaska.
Well, I don't know.
We've got plenty of affiliates. Let's spread it out a little bit. Anyway, we're glad to mention you guys in Alaska. KFQD, 750 AM in Anchorage. We like to give everybody an equal mention, if we can. All right. Anti-Ground Zero mosque ad to be placed on New York City buses. We also have this story from New York, and this is Governor Patterson, who is saying, you know, not a problem. If you want to put the mosque there at Ground Zero, that's cool, but may I make a suggestion? You know, have you ever had a waiter at the table and they'll say, may I make a suggestion? So we're going to be discussing that this evening with the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. She's also the president of the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, and that is Bobby Dooley, along with her husband, Stephen Dooley, who is the secretary treasurer of both organizations. And Bobby, let me just, and by the way, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
Let me just read the story. Governor Patterson said on Tuesday, this is Governor David Patterson of New York, the developers of the mosque near Ground Zero might consider moving the project and even floated the idea of offering them state land. Patterson said he supports putting the Islamic Cultural Center Park 51 at its proposed site, two blocks from the World Trade Center. But he also expressed sympathy for opponents who say that the location is insensitive to 9/11 victims and could be a breeding ground for terrorists. And then we have this other ad.
Well, in our way of thinking, Phil, especially that part about a breeding ground for terrorists, I think is it's pretty typical hysteria, and we really want people to take a big, deep breath on this.
When you talk about what?
The breeding ground for terrorists.
Yeah, when they're talking about Rome.
You guys, all right, so you're talking about, and that's your husband, Steve? How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
Great. So a breeding ground for terrorists, a little bit of an extreme notion.
I think it is. So I think that we have to, as a people here in America, yes, 9/11 was such a tragedy. I think it would be the better part of understanding and appreciation if we were to allow the mosque. We had, and I know that you saw some of our literature, a similar problem in Western States.
Well, what I saw here was that you and your homeowners association had opposed the building of a mosque near Western States, California. This was in the West Hills area.
We had, Phil, but there were a lot of different reasons for that. And the reason why we sent you that piece of information first of all, I wanted to make clear that while I was the president of the Homeowners Association and we had sent out some letters, I was not a part of, nor am I now a part of, any group that would oppose any religion, race, creed, color, and race from building the mosque.
Let's call the Dawah.
That was the name of it?
Yeah, it was called the fraternity. It's called the Dawah Center.
Yeah, that was the name of the proposed mosque in West Hills, I think it was called the Dawah Community Center. The Dawah Center Mosque and Community Center, right?
That's correct, yeah. And I have never been bigoted.
But you did author a letter opposing this.
I did. And I told the people that were proposing this mosque in our area, I said to them that I personally, I am not a bigoted person. We have children. We are a gated community with homes. We have a lot of kids in our gated community. And one of the things that kids will do is they will spray graffiti. And I told them that we had had a Christian church that had been vandalized with some graffiti. And I told them I felt there might be a better place.
But you're claiming that there was no bigotry. Are you claiming there was bigotry on the part of other members of your homeowners association?
Oh, I have to be honest and say I do suspect that. We had a beautiful girl, and I just think the world of her. Gretchen Polsky, who was on our steering committee for our summer tech, in fact, and she had made a comment about the mosque moving in, and I could tell that she probably has a problem, but I don't.
So then why would you author a letter asking these people not to be there?
Because
asking them not to be there, but at the same time, you support the mosque for Ground Zero.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Why? I don't understand.
Because, Phil, the mosque being built here in Western Estates, we've got a lot of kids that are going to spray paint swastikas and the things that they do on mosques.
Well, they spray paint swastikas on synagogues.
Well, yeah, but all non-traditional looking.
Yeah, if it looks like a synagogue.
If it appears to be a synagogue, they'll do it. And even if they knew it was a mosque, we've got kids that are going to... we had some incidences of children urinating on the walls and writing, you know, graffiti.
Such as what?
I'm sorry?
Such as what?
Well, you know, it was... It would say things like, you know, ragheads and... Or it said, you know, Jesus, or they draw, you know, crude pictures. One of the kids had drawn a penis on one of the statues of Jesus. So we felt that, you know, kids are going to do that. And we told the people that we're proposing this Dawah Community Center that we think there should be a better place and just move it somewhere other than here, because I am not a bigot, but a great many of our homeowners are, and I know this because I had talked to Tariq Henches, who's a record producer. He's a Muslim. I get along with him, but a lot of the people that lived here didn't.
All right, so you told the people that were proposing this mosque not to put it in Western Estates.
That is correct, yes. But...
And yet you are supporting this mosque on Ground Zero because there's not kids spray painting graffiti. Don't you think there's going to be a lot of people that would attempt to vandalize the mosque at Ground Zero?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think there are a lot more of us who believe in the right of a person to. And I want to first of all say to Tara Kenchez, who is a very good friend of mine, and I know he's listening. I hope he's listening tonight, that I am speaking on behalf of Muslims here, Tariq, and I want you to know that I am speaking on behalf of Muslims.
Yeah, we're Muslims.
Well, all right,
But the reason why I say that is because I don't want him or anyone getting the idea that, you know, we were with the others.
There were a group of others that didn't like the Muslims.
Well, all right, okay, but you were in favor of having that mosque, but you put on a letter telling them to leave and giving them, telling them that you were going to actually seek some sort of a legal injunction, and this was over your signature.
Well, yes, because I'm the Homeowners Association president.
Yeah, but you said to them that you would seek some sort of legal remedy and that if anything happened, it would not necessarily be the fault of the homeowners. I mean, there was a lot of language in here, in your letter that bespoke, it almost sounded like you didn't like Muslims.
No, that has nothing whatsoever to do with it. I would like you to retract even the inference, Phil.
Well, I'm not saying that you are, but the tone of the letter is all.
But Mr. Henry, we support it. Have a Muslim down in Pentagram here.
Not a
Muslims out there.
Yeah, Phil, what my husband is saying is we support Muslims at Ground Zero, and we support Muslims at Ground Zero for Tara Kinshaw, and I know a lot of friends of his are listening tonight and their families. There is solidarity between myself and Steve and Muslims. The other members of our community are filled with a lot of hate. But not us.
Would you be okay with a mosque moving into your neighborhood today?
Well, we just told them that they couldn't.
No, but knowing what you know, are you saying that you would still be opposed to a mosque moving into your neighborhood today?
I think I would, yeah. And I want Tara Kinshaw to know that if...
Who is Tara Kinshaw?
He was one of our residents. And he's a Muslim.
And he's in the music business?
Yes. But what I'm saying, that has nothing to do with anything, Phil. What I'm saying is this. If Mr. Hinchez and others wanted the mosque to move into Western States, we'd be in support of it. But I would not really want them to. It's just different.
It is different.
It's very...
Well, you haven't told me how it's different. You don't want the mosque near your homes, but you don't mind it for Ground Zero. And you are supporting this thing for Ground Zero because of your friendship with this man, Mr. Hinchez, which I can understand.
No, that is not why I'm supporting it for Ground Zero.
Well, Ms. Dooley, you've said at least two or three times, and I want Tarek Hinchez to know that we do support it.
And we do, and I don't mean any disrespect to Mr. Hinchez or his friends. They are Muslims, they're black. And they lived at Western Estates, and that is something that I'd like to make eminently clear, that they're Muslims and black.
And why do you want to make that clear?
Well, Mr. Turner, they lived in our...
I'll do it, Steve. They lived at our community. We are not bigoted against Muslims. We support the Ground Zero Mosque. We are not like those bigots that are in our community. No, we don't want them to build the mosque near our community, for reasons having to do with our kids painting these vulgar signs.
All right, well, so, Ms. Dooley, you're saying that the kids are going to vandalize the mosque, and that, to me, I think is what I'm getting here from. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us on their support for the Ground Zero Mosque, although a few months ago they were opposed to a similar mosque in their neighborhood, using as their reasoning that the kids were going to spray paint swastikas and vulgar signs. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, I'm looking at one or two of these little handouts. We are not bigots. We support the religion of Islam, and we support the World Trade Center mega mosque. All right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley on the Ground Zero Mosque. Coming back.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Now, what were you talking about, Bobby?
Well, the, I don't know if he's... Yeah, did Steve send along the song?
We have a Ground Zero song, yeah. It's a Ground Zero Mosque White House song. I don't know who wrote it or why, but we can play it if that's what you wanted to do. I do have this comment here from a, I don't know who this is talking, but it might be a representative of the White House.
Well, this is an issue that has been thought through, that's gone through a process in New York City. A decision has been made, and it's going forward. And you know, we're just not going to be in a position where a local government is going to make a decision that we go in and re-adjudicate. The president has made clear that we are not at war with Islam, and that we can have these sorts of discussions well within the traditions of openness and religious freedom that our country is based on.
Okay, Bobby, you heard that's Bill Burton.
Yes, I heard his comments, and I couldn't agree more, which I think makes all the more poignant the song. This is a song, a man by the name of Trayvon Martin. I just thought it was, to use the words of our son said, that it was very...
So lame.
It's very lame, is what our son said, and we agree. We think it's very lame.
All right, well, let's listen to this song that you call lame. This is by Trayvon Martin.
We've got freedom of religion.
Okay, listen to the,
Hold on for a minute.
But ground zero is one location where a mosque shouldn't stand.
Isn't that funny?
Okay, stop.
Hold on. What? I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, Steve's saying that it sounds really stupid, and you can hear what he's saying about not having a mosque at Ground Zero, which doesn't make any sense.
What if he wrote that same song about the mosque that you didn't want in your neighborhood?
The last time I looked, Phil, we didn't have anyone crashing jets into... you know something?
Well, that's just it. Nobody crashed any jets into your neighborhood, so why not put the mosque there?
Because we told you, Mr. Henry, that our kids are going to straight lead them.
My son was talked to by the Los Angeles County Sheriff. He didn't do it, but some boys that he was with had spray-painted something vulgar at the Catholic Church. And I decided that if that's what is these churches are doing to our kids, we have to have some control over where they're put. And
your son, all right, 877-876-PHIL. There's a lot to talk about. Let me go to a phone call here. Our number 877-876-PHIL with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Andrew in Winston-Salem, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How's it going, Phil?
Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
I just wanted to make a comment on the homeowners.
Yes, sir.
And my comment was, you know, you're saying that they're spray painting churches in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how? Say what?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Hey, Andrew, are you there? Are you listening to a radio? Or what are you doing, man?
I'm outside.
Okay, let's go. What do you have to say?
I'm saying that you're saying that the
Would you hold on for a minute, Bobby? That's what's confusing this young man.
What?
When you're going, Go on.
Okay. They're spray painting the churches, and that's bothering the community. Why would that be a reasonable thing to keep the mosque from being built there?
God.
What is the reasonable thing to keep the mosque from being built where? In Ground Zero?
In your gated community.
Well, because the kids, you know how kids are. You were young once. I was young once, although girls were not as prone to do these things. But boys are going to spray paint. These boys that my son was with, and I thank God that he wasn't one of them, they had spray painted a vulgarity on one of the statues, and we felt it's too much of a temptation to spray paint swastikas or...
So let's put like a fan up.
Yeah, like very hateful words like that.
So you're saying that the church is the temptation for kids to go and vandalize?
That is correct, yes.
And so a mosque, a synagogue, any kind of a church within the area of your gated community?
Within reach of the kids on their bikes, we felt we need to keep our area as clear and as clean of these, any kind of a building or edifice that the kids are going to be tempted to go and spray paint penises on. Phil, I can tell you that as a mother, it doesn't make me happy to say that. But I thank God that Seth wasn't one of those boys.
One of the boys that did what?
Well, he spray painted a penis on
He spray painted a penis on a statue.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is our number. As Bobby and Steve Dooley talked to us about not wanting a mosque in their neighborhood, but they're in favor of the Ground Zero Mosque in New York. Why? Well, we're still trying to figure that out. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. Talking to the president and the secretary and vice president of the Homeowners Association at Western Estates. These two individuals are in support of the Ground Zero Mosque. The reason why we're having them on is because, well, you requested the time, Ms. Dooley, in saying that you are not bigots, that you and your husband both supported the proposed Dawa Community Center Mosque in Western Estates, but that the other members of your homeowners association did not.
That is correct, Joe. And I want to also stress that Mr. Hinchez, the man that I had mentioned to you, who's a Muslim.
And he's also in the entertainment business, right?
He's a record producer, from what I understand. I wanted to stress that to him as well.
If he's listening, I'm sure he's heard you.
But I wanted to make sure that he knew, as well as the other Muslims that lived in his home. It looked to me as if he had some 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah, there were a lot of them living there.
In the home. That we do support them. And so that was all we wanted to say. We have nothing but the greatest support for Muslims.
And yet you wrote this letter to their lawyer saying, keep it out of our neighborhood.
As I said, we wanted not to present a target for our boys. And not my son, because my son was not a part of it, but he was driven over there with some other boys, and he had to stand and watch as all the other boys went and urinated and drew these...
Yeah, we threw penises on the Virgin Mary.
To our way of thinking...
Well, all of that is against the law. Was your son arrested?
No, he most certainly was not, because as I said to you earlier, and I will repeat, my son Seth was not involved in it.
My son was taken over there against his will.
Against his will? All right.
Mr. Hendry, this is not what we're on the program to talk about.
No, what I'm trying to do before we get to another phone call is determine how it is you were opposed to this one mosque. Now you're in favor of the one in New York. 877-876-PHIL. Deborah in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I believe she's talking out of both sides of her mouth. If it's good enough to go... If a mosque is good enough to be placed at Ground Zero, I'm here. If a mosque,
I'm listening.
Well, can you please stop saying whatever you're saying so I can talk?
It's very distracting, Ms. Dooley.
I'm simply acknowledging the woman's comment.
Please, can I make my point? Your son should be held accountable.
Thing.
Your son should
it's
be held accountable,
normal.
Just like all of the other boys. He was there. He watched it happen.
He
should have been arrested, just like everybody else. And
well, I'll tell you, the discretion Polsky's son is the one that drew the penis.
Can you please ask her to be quiet?
Ms. Dooley, let's not allow the caller to talk, okay?
I just wanted to point out that Gretchen Polsky's son was the one who spray-painted the penis.
All right, we understand that.
It doesn't matter if he spray-painted the penis. He's still got to be held accountable.
My son did not do it.
All right, we understand that. Now, I want to hear from my caller in Virginia. Go ahead, please.
Anyway, if she's in favor of a mosque going at a place where thousands of people died and thousands of, probably tens of thousands are mourning just close family members, and she doesn't want that in her community, she's talking out of both sides of her mouth. She needs to realize that if it's good for there, it's good for her community. Now, it's ridiculous that
well,
she should.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting. I'm sure you go to church on Sunday. How do you know that where your church is, Indians weren't massacred?
I don't understand why.
See, that's a really good point.
That's not a... What point is that? There's a church
the
down the street from my house,
know,
and my son has
exactly,
never spray-painted anything on it. Boys are not boys. It's the way they're raised and
no,
the
you
way...
No, you were talking about the people that died at Ground Zero. We had Indians that got massacred up, how do you know a church isn't built on that?
Built on what?
Where the
Even
Indians
if the church
were massacred.
Is built on an Indian the, massacre site, yeah. It has nothing to do with now. This is the here and now. You go to church to worship God, and if your son and the people he hangs out with has a problem with that, then you need to address that.
Well, I don't really know
I don't believe that
is.
A mosque needs
it
to go to ground zero.
It sounds to me that you are in favor of the mosque at ground zero.
No,
the lady's very clear. She's opposed to it because of the horrible events of September the 11th. And let me just address what you said, Bobby. This is a generation that lived that, that experienced that, that was a part of that. When we talk about the treatment of Native Americans during the building phase of this country, there's a lot of horrible things that happen. But this generation has, excuse me, witnessed that.
Mr. Henry, this woman indicated that my son drew a penis on the Virgin Mary,
no,
and he did
that.
Not.
I said if he was there, he should be held accountable. He watched it happen. He didn't stop it.
Exactly.
Nobody
right, Trevor,
made
thank
him
you.
Stand there.
Right. Thank you for your call, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Robert in San Francisco. Robert, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
You know what? I've been listening to this in my car, and this woman and her husband are obviously complete left-wingers. They're not listening to what people are saying on the radio. Everyone that I've talked to, and I live in a left-wing area here in Marin County, are not for building a mosque, which is a complete embarrassment to our society, anywhere near the 9/11 catastrophe. And for anyone in their right mind to come out and say that they are in favor of it, they have got a screw loose. Period. End of story.
We're in favor of religious tolerance. Are you not?
I am in favor of religious tolerance.
Well, it doesn't sound that way to me.
But that being said,
keep people away from certain areas because of their religion.
You know what?
That is bigotry.
You know what? Here's the deal.
The United States is based on.
You have a means of talking over people, okay?
Yeah, Bobby, Ms. Dooley, let the man say what he wants to say.
I listen to him, and I'm simply saying that
you've been on the air for 20 minutes talking, spewing out stuff, and
the
majority of the
I'm
Americans the that I've talked to, in addition to the people in New York City who pay the taxes there, are against this mosque. Our politicians are not listening. And there is something going wrong in this country when the politicians are not listening. We are the country, not them.
Excuse me. The Constitution is the country.
No, the people are the country, not
the
piece of paper.
The Constitution of the United States says if we voted for a concentration camp tomorrow, it wouldn't be constitutional. And your keeping Muslims away from a worship center is not constitutional.
They can build their worship center wherever, but we can, as a society, decide what's appropriate.
Bobby, you know, Ms. Dooley, you kept the Muslims away from a worship center, because you claim...
No, it is not a claim. Excuse me?
Well, you're making some claim about how you didn't want it to be targeted by vandals.
I told you that those boys... Do I have to say it again? I don't particularly enjoy
it. That's what I got out of it too. I mean, you're speaking.
In other words, I'm trying to
advance. She said it perfectly. You're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You say
No,
let me finish. Your HOA, you were the head of the HOA, and that you were saying that, because people were going to spray swastikas on this building, that you told them they can build it there, but it would be fine in New York City, that you didn't think that people would do it there. Are you kidding me? What a joke.
In New York,
say that.
They're going to have bodyguards, they're going to have security guards.
Can't they have security guards at the mosque out in the valley?
The point that I was making, Phil, if you spray paint a penis on Muhammad, you're going to have hell to pay. And I don't need my son.
First of all, Muslim mosques don't have images carved into them for people mess with the way that Christian churches or even perhaps even Jewish synagogues may have some sort of symbology. But there is nothing that a Muslim mosque has that a kid is going to be able to vandalize in terms of the images of somebody, okay?
And you notice how?
Ms. Dooley, I think it is a red herring for you to say that you're protecting Muslims. You don't want to see a penis spray painted on Muhammad.
I didn't do that. That was a woman who wanted bad publicity for me because I had beaten her in a homeowners association. You don't want to hear this.
No, no.
I had beaten her in the homeowners association election. So she decided to say that my son had spray-painted a penis on the Virgin Mary.
Okay, so what?
This is old stuff. That's the, you know what you're bringing
up, other kids are going to do it, too? Exactly, exactly. All right, Robert, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to Tom in Anchorage, Alaska. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
My question for Mrs. Dewey is why is she going to show more accommodation and respect for teenage vandals and local community bigots than she's going to show to the Muslim faith?
I am trying to protect the Muslim faith from being spray painted. And
is,
I don't
has any, has anybody asked for your protection?
Has anyone asked for my... Has anyone asked you if you'd like to have... You know...
Yeah, I mean...
Has anyone asked him what?
I don't think... I think that the question is a little... What do you mean, has anyone asked? No, they haven't. Okay, they haven't. And,
well, so are you trying to put those people in fear?
Mr. Hendry, I very clearly stated that I'm in favor of the mosque in New York. And, yes, I'd be in favor of a mosque in the Valley if I could be assured that this woman's son wouldn't go back over there and spray paint penises on it.
This Gretchen Polsky...
from any potential criminal that they're not going to commit a crime.
I did you say that again?
You're being very clever, sir.
I am very clever, and you're very stupid. How can you ask any criminal not to commit a criminal act? How is that you can get insurance for that?
You know, what my husband's saying is you're being a little too clever.
What does that mean, clever? The man's asking a very, I think, logical question. That, in other words, you're asking this mosque, you know what, you better not build here because you may have a crime committed against you, rather than to say, for instance, to the L.A. County Sheriff or to any security group, we fear for the property and safety of the people attending this mosque. They're neighbors of ours. They may, in the case of Mr. Hinch, as you said, he lives in your community. And we would like to, as a community, exhort the local police to make sure that they, you know, protect the area.
That's what I mean. You and this man...
Mr. Hendry, you and this man making your clever arguments.
What's clever about that?
Well, there's a cleverness to what you're saying.
Let me ask you a follow-up question. Have you asked all the retailers to close down their business because they might have suffer shoplifting?
Of course not, because we don't have that problem.
We don't have any shoplifters.
Not to the extent that we had this boy, Justin Polsky, spray painting the penis on God. I can't think of anything more vulgar than someone coming up with a spray can, looking at a picture of God and spray painting a 20-foot long...
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. As we talk here with Bobby and Steve Dooley, I don't want to keep hearing about what her son didn't do. She's saying that the other boy, and she has no problem mentioning this kid's name, was responsible for vandalizing a Muslim mosque or other churches. That's why they told the Muslim community center, you better not build here because the kids here tend to vandalize these buildings. However, she's not a bigot. And she's in favor of the mosque at Ground Zero, where there are tens of millions of Americans this very evening. And I have to admit, myself included, and I'm going to even admit this much. If I'm honest with myself, I realize that there probably isn't a whole lot of sense in me feeling the way I do. It's legal, and they have a right to do it. And it is religious tolerance that we're asking, and we have a freedom of religion. I just think the timing is a little on the insensitive side, but that's me. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with Bobby and Steve Dooley talking about the mosque at Ground Zero and the mosque that never got built out in the valley because Ms. Dooley said the boys of the neighborhood were spray painting penises on statues. Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you cut me?
To the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
My wife will come.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We'll get back to them in just a second, but I wanted to at least give you a heads up on this story here. Anti-Ground Zero mosque ads to be placed on New York City buses. The opponents of the mosque and Islamic Center near Ground Zero aren't giving up yet. After the last legal hurdle was cleared on August the 3rd, the project to construct the mosque and Muslim Community Center in the vicinity of the World Trade Center was given the green light with no remaining legal routes available to prevent the center's construction. The vociferous opposition has now kicked off a hearts and minds campaign to try and sway the city population.
That is not going to work.
Yeah, I think that's whistling and seeing in the wind, Mr. Hendry.
We really don't think that'll work, Bill. I'll tell you why. Because the American people are going to see that this is a battle that must be fought for the freedom of religion against all odds. And
was it against all odds, Ms. Dooley, when you refute...
I don't want to discuss that anymore.
My wife has cleared that up.
I think I've already cleared that up.
No, you haven't cleared it up. You said that you didn't want that mosque because the kids were going to be spray painting. You said against all odds.
Yes, against all odds. But when you're talking about your son being coerced by other boys, we had a Muslim family and their friends living in a house here. His name, and he was a record producer, yes. They moved out, all right, when they heard about the fact that we wanted to have a mosque there. And I asked them why they moved out, and they wouldn't tell me. I know it's because they were afraid these boys were going to spray paint penises or whatever. Or,
you know, like large boobs.
Or large boobs. And
all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. I don't understand what that has to do with anything. You said that they moved out when you told them they were going to have a mosque center, and that was, you know...
No, it's not called a mosque center. It's called a community center.
I'm sorry, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Maja in Winston-Salem, listening to us on WZTK. Go ahead, Mazda. Or, I mean, Maja. Mazda, sorry.
I don't feel like it is a valid reason that boys mm-hmm. will be boys not to build a mosque anywhere, because then mm-hmm. you can't build anything there if you feel like they're just that destructive. I feel like they should be disciplined, and somebody should do something about the kids. Because if you can't build a mosque there, then you can't build a bank there or a pizza hut or anything for that matter if you're that worried about them destroying stuff.
They're not going to spray paint a penis on a pizza hut. Why?
Why not? These are destructive kids with no discipline.
Right.
I think you're wrong. I think if the religious center invites them.
No. You're going bad at bass backwards. This man's right. What are you going to build anything there?
Mr. Hendry, I've been listening to you agreeing with your callers over and over again tonight. And I would like for once for you to see my side. I'm saying I'm in favor of the mosque. I wanted them to build it. But
it sounds like you're just trying to cover your rear end at this mm-hmm. point. You don't want it in mm-hmm. your neighborhood because it's but not only because it's religious, but mm-hmm. because it's mm-hmm. Islamic. And you're using this as an excuse. Mm-hmm. It sounds like rubbish.
No, that woman and her son, the Polskis, they don't like Islam. But I had talked to this man, he's a record producer, and I found out he was of Islam. And he was moving, and I said, why? They're building a mosque. And for some reason, that didn't stop him.
All night
maybe he just didn't...
Mm-hmm.
All night, it just sounds like mm-hmm. you've just been covering your eyes. Mm-hmm. It sounds like mm-hmm. you don't want it there. And you're using mm-hmm. this as an excuse.
No.
Discipline the kids. If that's the problem, discipline the kids. Mm-hmm. Let them.
Maybe the guy. What I was going to say is maybe this guy just wanted to leave the neighborhood because he didn't like the people.
I beg your pardon?
Maybe he was leaving the neighborhood because he didn't like the people.
Why would you say that?
Well, Ms. Dooley, I've heard you say a couple of times this man, Mr. Hinch, has lived there with his family and friends, it looked like.
Well, they had 10 or 11 people in there.
Yeah, it really looked like.
Yeah, and the way you put that, I mean, maybe the guy's doing work there. Maybe he had an in-home studio there. Maybe he had artists coming and going. Maybe he had publicists coming and going. Who knows? But the way you put it, it makes it sound like, oh, you know, him and his friends are all living there. Anyway, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Billy in San Antonio. Billy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
No. He doesn't have publicists there. They didn't look like publicists.
Go ahead, Billy.
Okay. I just wanted to present one question, if you will allow me to. I was just wondering, you know, if you don't want the bar built there, it'll be vandalized. You mentioned that other churches had been vandalized. Are you going to have them closed down?
Well, no. The Christian church, of course, did not close down, but we did tell the Muslims about what this boy did, and I'm a little mystified why people are not getting this. He spray painted a penis on Jesus.
We understand. We got that.
I agree with the lady in Virginia. She's talking out of both sides of her mouth and making excuses to try to make.
You think it's funny that God?
Anybody, any American that was free, at ground zero.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, he is just such a patriot. We talk about the greatest generation.
I'm dying. Everybody is. But
we were having a family dinner, celebrating my wife's birthday and my son's birthday.
George Bush doesn't care about
douchebags like Joe Biden.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about and where truth is our bitch. And on this show, we go beyond the guest, the host, the callers. We go beyond it all. We take you through that looking glass. We take you through the wall of dimension. And we look at the whole thing a different way. Now, don't ask anybody in radio about it. They won't be able to explain it. But you can certainly go to our website, philhenryshow.com, if you want to know what our radio show is about. And you need to go to our website if you want to know what our radio show is about. philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You got hours and 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 hours of archived material from the greatest radio show on earth. You also have live streaming video and live streaming audio. And hold on, bud. I got to turn this thing off, which I asked you to turn off.
Oh, it's a fan.
Yeah, I know it's the fan. That's what I'm turning off, man.
Why?
Because I don't want the noise coming under the microphone. In any event, we've got our live video cast and our live audio feed every night. You can download our show via iTunes each and every day. You can download our mini podcasts, which are smaller versions of our nightly show. And then you can also get a hold of free our Classic Phil podcasts, which are classic segments from our archives. This week, we've already featured Get In There and Make Me Some Bean Dip, which was a Vernon Dozier hour. Last week, we have All You Can Eat Negro, as well as Plane Go Boom. That's all on our website, philhenryshow.com. Doug Danger is going to be joining us here to discuss gay marriage and civil unions. Plus, a man is arrested for restaurant rage, and an American Idol winner tries to kill herself. And why not? I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger is actually a entertainment reporter, has done an awful lot of reporting on the entertainment news, at least. And, of course, we are talking a little bit about politics here tonight. Doug, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
Did you hear about this American Idol, this young lady?
Yes, I did. It's a very bizarre story. Fantasia is her name, and we'll get into a little bit more of why it is she did what she did. I'm going to be writing a column about it. But yes, you're absolutely right. It's a very tragic story.
All right. Let's talk about the Proposition 8, the striking down of Prop 8. Now, I know that you are you're a gay man and a gay journalist, and you don't usually like to write about gay politics, though, because it's very limiting.
Well, I think it's very limiting. I don't want anyone thinking that because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm very proud of the fact that I am gay and a gay journalist. But I don't want anyone thinking, well, let's go to Doug Danger because he writes about gay stuff. And I think that a lot of writers do get, pushed into a corner that way, whether they are a black writer, let's say, well, let's have him do the urban beat, or whether they're an Asian writer. Ben Fong Torres, who is a very good friend of mine, is Asian, obviously Asian-American, and yet Ben Fong Torres was able to carve a niche for himself as one of the best rock and roll writers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in America. That's always been my kind of my model, Ben Fong-Torre. You can look at the guy and say, man, he's about as Chinese as just about anybody you see walking down the Great Wall of China, or, you know, some guy carrying some water buckets up from the river, but and yet he's an American, and he's writing about rock and roll now. That's amazing to me.
And why is that amazing? You know.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, you don't usually see a Chinese guy writing about rock and roll. How many Chinese guys do you see in groups? Yeah. You don't see any. There are no Chinese guys in any rock and roll band in America. I mean, we got black guys, we got white guys.
Well, I wouldn't say that, man. I just haven't even really scoped out bands to see what exactly. Linkin Park, I think Linkin Park, their DJ, is Asian. If I thought about it, I'm sure I could come up with a bunch of bands.
Well, all right. Okay, so think about it.
I don't. Right now, I don't want to do that, Doug. I mean, we can certainly do that at some point. But what I'm saying here is that, and you're paying Ben Fong-Torre a compliment. You're saying Ben Fong-Torre is an Asian writer, and you want to be to writing what Ben Fong-Torre was to rock and roll writing. No one is going to think of your ethnicity, or in your case, your sexual orientation.
That's pretty much it, Phil. And again, when we talk about Proposition 8, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I look at Proposition 8. Now, someone's going to say to me, aren't you glad? Well, here's what I'm glad about. Here's the thing that I think is bad about gay marriage. I don't like the idea of marriage. And I came up with a term that Jack Swanson picked up over at the other Orange County newspaper.
The Orange County. What is the other Orange County paper? I'm totally drawing a blank right now.
I am too. I work for the Courier. There's the Orange County Register.
The Orange County Register, right.
Yeah, well, Jack picked up on that, and I said, it's a civil union. Let's just call it what it is. Because I'm a gay man, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, one of the great things that gay people have brought to this thing called marriage is a sense of reality. And I think we need to bring a sense of reality to this thing called marriage. So I said to Jack, I'm going to call it a civil union, and he picked up on it. Next thing I know, a couple of writers from the LA Times picked up on it. And
so you coined the term civil union in one of your columns?
I did, yeah. And here's why I did. Marriage, we don't want to have anything to do with. As gay people, we want nothing to do with marriage because it's not a realistic term. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I bring to my writing reality. I bring to my writing a discriminating sense. I bring to my writing a focused and a very clear vision. And I think what gay people have brought to this idea of marriage is civil union, clarity. Is it marriage? No, it's not. There's no such thing as this fancy idea of a spiritual bonding. It is a financial agreement. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and from my perspective, and I have a very honest perspective, I realize what marriage is. It is a financial agreement, and that's why I call it a civil union.
And well, do you recommend that other gay people call it that, and that they just abandon this word marriage?
Well, I think they should abandon the word marriage because it really doesn't exist. I think if straight people want to fool themselves into thinking that such a thing exists, and I don't think such a thing exists, but if they want to fool themselves into thinking that there is a spiritual informing of the two people, I feel that it took gay people to say, all right, now, we'd like to do this too. Now, what do you call this? We call it marriage. Well, guess what? It doesn't look like anything even approaching marriage to us. Let's call it what it is, a civil union. And I think that's why a lot of straight people got upset and said, well, now what you're doing is you're insulting our institution, so we don't want to have anything more to do with you. And, of course, the court said, well, you can't do that because it's not constitutional.
All right, we're talking with Doug Danger. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So civil union is really what it ought to be called, whether it's straight people or gay people.
Absolutely. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I'll tell you why I'm right. I'm right because as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I took a look at what they called marriage, and I realized that, well, people are getting divorced, people are stealing from each other, they're murdering each other, they're raping each other, they're beating each other. There's nothing spiritual about this. What is it really? It's a financial undertaking. It's a financial bond. And so when I used the term civil union in my column 2 years ago, and that was 2000 and just it was late 2007 when I really started using it a lot, and it got picked up on by a few of the other papers, got picked up on nationally. And I said, the reason why I'm saying civil union is because as gay people, we don't want to be embarrassed calling it marriage. And, of course, I got a lot of people, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know?
Oh, so you felt it would be embarrassing for gay people to call it marriage.
Oh, it's absolutely embarrassing. Because if you call it marriage, that is associating gay people with straight people who have not really done such a great job. And so I just said, why don't we do this? Why don't we just call it a civil union?
Well, here is the thing, Doug. There are a lot of people who are gay who like the idea of calling it marriage. What do you say to them?
I say to them, don't let the propaganda of the straights fool you. It ain't no thing, as the man said, you know. It's not. You don't want to call it marriage because that doesn't exist. It's a financial undertaking called civil union. And even straight people are not married. They have a civil union, too. But they fool themselves into thinking they're married because they had a church wedding and they had all the kind of, you know, fancy stuff. I would hasten to say to you, Phil, the best thing that's ever happened to gay people is that column that I wrote in December of 2007 when I said, let's call it what it is, a civil union. And I got people calling me from all over the country saying, you know, we've never heard that term before. And I said, well, that's what it is. It's a civil union. And they said, for straight people, too, it's for straight people, too. Marriage is a made-up word. It doesn't exist as an actual thing.
And well, what would you say marriage is?
In the minds of people?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I've got to be very honest about that. And I'd have to say that in the minds of people, marriage is some fancy, it's like a fantasy, you know, of love and frolicking in the grass and you know, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden or something like that, right? And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Do you know anybody that lives that has a marriage like that?
Do I know anyone that has a marriage like the Garden of Eden? No, I don't.
Okay, because it doesn't exist. That's what people think marriage is. It doesn't exist. Not gonna happen. So as a gay man and a gay journalist, I said, let's call it what it is, civil union.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We're talking about gay marriage, and we're talking, I guess we're talking about gay civil union.
That's what it is, and we're talking about straight civil union, too.
Straight civil union. Marriage doesn't really exist because marriage is some kind of is kind of a love thing, right?
Well, no, it's not a love thing, because love is in all. Marriage is a spiritual thing that I think you and I can both agree doesn't exist, because just because a guy married his wife doesn't mean it's spiritual, because a week later he cut her up into, you know, little pieces and put her in a suitcase and left her on the side of a road. How's that spiritual? See? So as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I said, well, that's not spiritual. And,
well, what about the people that are married and are married happily? And
you said it yourself, Phil, during a pre-show, people that are married and married happily, it should be called civil union for gays and straights. End of story. Marriage is a fairy tale. It doesn't really exist for 99% of all couples. End the use of this term. And, you know, I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I don't want to talk out of school. But the term that I came up with, civil union. And,
well, I just don't I think there's a level of romance, you know.
All right, but we're not talking about a romantic novel right now. We're talking about something that people argued about.
Well, look. I know, and I never did understand that term. You know, we want to use the word marriage, we want to use the word merit.
Everybody needs to use the right term, which is civil union. Marriage is like, it never has really existed in the sense that people have said. And I, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I know that it's difficult for people to hear that. But I think we now need to end the use of the term marriage and just use civil union for gays and straights. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but if you would come out and endorse this, Bill, you're straight.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sure. I mean, are you saying an official document?
Everything. Official everything. Marriage, it doesn't exist, and I think it's a misnomer. So as a straight man, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right, Phil? Phil, okay?
Yes, 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 of course.
All right. Well, as you're straight, and I would want you to endorse using civil unions so that a gay man and a gay journalist and a straight can say that.
All right, I endorse only using civil union.
You agree with me?
Yeah, yeah, I do agree with you.
That means that you cannot use the term marriage in any communication. You cannot need to use the term marriage in any communication with any government official or any kind of official paper. I can't say marriage certificate. All right, in conversation, you have to limit the use of it. So what we're doing is we're...
Well, I don't know what you mean by conversation.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know what you are, Doug, but I don't know what you mean by limiting the use of the word marriage.
Get rid of it. It has no meaning in our society for gays or straights. That's what I mean.
All right, hold on. That's what I thought he meant. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. So should we end the term marriage and just use civil union for gays and straights? Doug Danger endorses that because he wrote a column, I don't know, 3 years ago where he says he first used the term civil union and it took off with a lot of people. They like it. It's clearer. It's more descriptive. It's more accurate. And the term marriage should not be allowed in any official documents and should be limited in how much we use it in everyday speech. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Doug Danger here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
As a gay man and a gay journalist,
I understand.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What? Did he say marriage?
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show this evening as we continue to follow up on the recent court ruling on Proposition 8 and the fact that it was overturned here in the state of California. It was a proposition that was passed by the voters, and it was ruled unconstitutional by a higher court, a federal court. Joining us is Doug Danger. Mr. Danger with the Orange County Courier is a writer. Doug is also gay. And talking about the use of the term civil union, as opposed to the words marriage, that is the problem, right, Doug?
Yeah, it was funny, you know. I'll give you an example, and you're my friend, Phil, and I respect you, but you just said that like a straight guy, right, Doug? In other words, you sounded just like one of those early morning hosts that my mom used to watch on TV. Right, Doug? You know, and so as a straight man, you know, you're straight, and you're so obviously straight that I like the fact that you have endorsed not using the word marriage. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm unpredictable. I'm not going to go, right, Phil, and if that sounds so predictable. I'm very unpredictable. And as a gay man and a gay journalist, what did I say? I said, you know what? Marriage doesn't mean anything. Marriage is associated with what? Financial rape, getting screwed by your partner, a sexless existence, losing custody of your children, infidelity, venereal disease, passive-aggressive arguments, violence. I mean, just using the word civil union will automatically make these unions last longer because nobody wants to be associated with a word that means getting bent over and viciously raped by a woman when you're a man. And so when you went, right, Doug? You know,
what is it with you? You know, I'm beginning to get a little offended here. And
why?
Right, Phil? You know, what am I, a stereotype?
I think if you ask gay people... Straight people are very stereotypical in their behavior, but no, I don't think you're a stereotype so much as you were not being very creative, right, Doug? You know, sounded like kind of a lame way to throw it to me. And
all right, well, all I was trying to do is say that the word civil union, in your opinion, need to be marriage is the problem.
Marriage, the word marriage is the problem.
All right, yeah. 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger with me here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about gay marriage, marriage, and beyond. Michelle, listening to us on KTLK in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Michelle. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Marriage is an institution, and you cannot change an institution that's so deeply embedded in people by changing the word.
What do you mean it's an institution? You can't even define it. You don't even know what it is.
What marriage is, exactly. It's, you know, so many things to so many different people.
It has no meaning. And that means we've got to give something that has meaning and codify it in law. So when we codify in law civil union, we know what that means, a business arrangement between a man and a woman that will ensure they're protecting each other, their security, their financial security, the protection of the children, and give the names of the parents to the children. Everything else, if you'll pardon the expression, everything else is horse you know what. You know, it just doesn't mean anything. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. It took a gay man to show straight people the way.
And, Doug.
No, I mean, I'm telling you, it took a gay man to come up with the term civil union so that straight people could pull their heads out of their, you know.
All right. I'm sorry. What were you going to say, Michelle?
I was going to say, I also think that marriage, we should work, instead of trying to change the institution, we should work to make marriage a fair institution. Yeah, it is something that's codified, and it should be codified fairly for all people, you know. So, I mean,
do you agree with gay union?
With gay marriage? Yes.
No, I didn't say gay marriage. I don't want anything to do with gay marriage. I don't want anything to do with an institution that means financial rape. Do you agree with gay union or the gay unification?
That would be rape. There could be rape in any kind of relationship. So
at least in a civil union, you know you're going to get raped. If you tell someone that
what does that mean? You know you're going to get raped.
If you tell somebody they're going to be in a civil union, then you're thinking financial and you're thinking, okay, what is that?
That's music. We got to take a break.
You got to take a break. I was talking to a woman here about something very important. You know what, Phil?
We'll be back, okay?
Yeah, I know, but I was talking about how you could get just as easily raped in a gay union as you could I'm a gay man.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, gee, dear.
This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Hold on. We're on with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. What did I tell you?
Didn't you tell me that you thought marriage was a load?
Of course I think marriage is a load. I think anybody that knows me knows that I think marriage is a complete and utter load. But that does not mean Phil Hendry's experience is everybody else's experience.
No, but you did say that you felt that marriage was a twisted and sadistic joke played on people.
I think in the hands of some people, yes. I think in the hands of some people, yes.
In your experience?
I'm not. I mean, why would I be talking this way? No, I don't like marriage. Okay, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing for other people.
I'm telling you, and this is why, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, Phil, I'm gay. And it took a gay man and a gay journalist to express this point of view so that straights could understand it. Now, you can talk all you want about marriage, but the word marriage has come to mean so many negative things that gay people would be way better off. And straight people, frankly, but right now I can only hope gay people begin to use the term civil union so that we will have stronger bonds, because nobody wants to be associated with a word that means venereal disease that you contracted from your wife's lover. I'm sorry to put it that way.
Well, what are you so angry about?
My father was cheated on by me.
I don't mean to add, did he get...
Yes, he did.
Your father contracted venereal disease from your mother.
That she got from some, I don't know, this guy. They said that the guy had done some work around the house.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Should we get rid of the word marriage and just stay with the term civil union? Doug Danger is telling us here this evening that we should, because marriage has stopped meaning anything, and that even straight people should use it. That the word marriage should be taken out of everyday conversation. It should be taken out of the words, I mean, everywhere, right?
That's right. As far as we can control the use of that word, if we can eliminate it from the uses in books, the uses in magazines, when people want to use it in conversation, some method so that we discourage people from saying the word marriage. We can't hear it anymore because it has come to mean what it meant to my father, venereal disease from a black gardener. And I'm sorry, Phil.
That's who your mother was at?
Yes, sir.
Who was...
it's a very emotional topic for me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Chris in Houston. You're from the South too, Doug, right?
Yeah, South Carolina.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
Okay, you know, my big concern here is that I have no problem with gay marriage at all. I just don't really understand why we need to sit here and take the word marriage out of our vernacular because of bad experiences by some people in the world. A civil union, yes, a marriage is a civil union, but a marriage, right. The word marriage means more to me personally and the people I know. I mean, the population of the world, I can't see dropping down to my knees and asking my fiance, you know, hey, will you enter into a civil union with me? That's ridiculous. I mean,
let's look at that. What are you getting on your knee and asking her for? All you're asking her is to let's make this official, so that financially I can protect you, you can protect me. What are you going on your knee for and doing all this fancy stuff when you know there's a good chance? I'm not saying it'll happen, but there's a better than 50% chance that you're going to wind up either killing her or beating her half to death.
Why would you say something like that?
Wait a minute. I think that comment comes from some deep seated issues with marriage. You know,
Wait a minute. Do you read a newspaper, sir? It happens every day.
Okay.
It happens every day.
Hold on, Doug.
No. You're saying there's a 50% chance that I will either kill. You're saying there's a 50% chance I'm going to kill my wife because I use the word marriage.
I'm saying the following thing. When you imbue something with the expectation that marriage imbues a relationship, when you make it seem like it's a big-time spiritual, Olympic event, and it turns out just to be what it is, which is it's now official, we are legally, financially tied together, and you get disappointed, you're going to wind up one day as you're going into the refrigerator for a beer, she's going to say something you didn't like, and you'll backhand her before you even knew what happened.
In certain parts of the world, perhaps that's okay, but you know what?
You're laughing because it sounds real.
It's the person, Doug. That's what you got to understand. It's not the population. It's the person. I can guarantee you that
her and you're going to see teeth.
No, you know what? I really hope, you know, in if you're a...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm having to tell a straight guy this.
All right, I can't hear anybody.
Gay man and a gay journalist. I understand that.
I'm having to tell a straight guy. I got to tell a straight guy how it is.
No, you don't.
How it is.
You don't have to... You don't have to tell me that I'm going to go to the refrigerator, get a beer, and cut my wife's head off. That doesn't make any sense. You're trying to change the world. You gay marriage, you whatever, dude. It doesn't matter. Civil union, yeah.
I don't want gay marriage. I want gay civil union.
I understand that it is a financial contract, okay? That's obvious.
Right.
You cannot take away from the population the word marriage out of a conversation.
Let me jump in because I think what Chris is saying, and a lot of people have said, Doug, there are a lot of straight people calling up tonight saying, we agree with gay marriage. We agree with the rights of gay people to marry. But we don't agree with just getting rid of that word.
Well, that's not good enough.
What do you mean it's not good enough?
For a straight to say, I like gay marriage, like they begrudgingly now say, okay, why don't you guys come on into the world? We've created a venereal disease and murder. We're saying we don't want that. We want civil union. So we now require straight people to come to the table on that.
What do you mean we require?
We'd like straight people who say...
I'll tell you, Phil, you need a lot longer than 3 hours to talk to this guy because he's off his rocker.
Well, wait a minute. I'm off my rocker. Tell me, you're telling me that I'm wrong, that marriage has represented down through the years suitcases all over the city with body parts in them.
No, can I ask you this question? Can I ask
good
your
Lord.
Question?
Oh,
in a gay civil union, are you telling me that there's not a 50% chance that a gay man
doesn't
go to
get there and
kill
big
him?
Big chance. There's a big chance, dude, but here's the difference. We aren't sitting there going, oh, marriage. We're saying civil union. We're saying business agreement.
The
we're saying... The difference is we're not fooling ourselves into saying this is some kind of a love fest, man. This is a business arrangement, and that's
then
all
you
it is.
Do you believe, hold on for a minute, do you believe that there is such a thing as love in a relationship, Doug?
What? Exactly.
Do you believe that there is love in a relationship?
There is love, and sometimes love dies. There is sometimes stand together for the kids or sometimes stand together for security. You people don't know what it is to live a lifetime with another human being. Sometimes it's got nothing to do with love, okay? I saw my mother give my father venereal disease from some guy that was driving a Miller truck. And
wait a minute. You said it was a black gardener.
Yeah,
now it's a Miller truck.
I beg pardon? Yeah, this guy thinks it's funny. This guy thinks it's funny that some guy's father got the clap from a dude driving a
truck. I think it's funny that you said he was a gardener and now he drives a truck.
A Miller truck.
No, sir.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Well, I might have been thinking about a friend of mine.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for your call, Chris. 877-876-PHIL. Thanks for your call. Let's go over to Jill here in Virginia Beach, Virginia, listening on WTAR. Hello, Jill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Doug.
Yes, ma'am. What can we do for you?
All I can say
That guy was crazy because all he wants to do...
Hold on. Doug, I've got another caller on the line. That gentleman's gone.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, here. Doug, I got one for you. If you say that you're a gay man and a gay journalist one more time, I think I'm going to go nuts. I think everybody in the whole world got
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. There, go nuts.
Really? You've got
because
to be kidding
me. I'll tell you
me.
What. You're gonna go crazier as a married woman thinking it's got anything to do with anything other than money.
How about this? I'll just go, here's what I'm gonna say. My name's not Jill. I'm a straight married woman. 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 My point is, who cares?
You sound like a babbling
idiot. You wanna be you wanna have
like
a civil
idiot.
Union. No, you wanna have a civil union. Knock yourself out. No one is saying that. But why do you wanna change marriage?
Because
your bitter party of one.
Because it is the problem with marriage that we call
it's
it
not your problem.
It's the reason
it's
why
your
husband's probably...
It's not your problem. You're a gay man and a gay journalist.
It's
you don't have to get
union,
married.
And we're going to have a civil union. And
well, guess what? I don't want you to
union.
Call it a civil
straight
union.
People
nope,
are not gonna
nope,
have,
nope. I don't want you to call it a civil union. I want you to
call it a civil union. Because if you keep calling it marriage... If you keep calling it marriage, you're going to wind up, your head is going to be in an icebox. I don't know how else to say
it. You're saying that because of marriage, and the reason why we call it marriage, is because there's going to be violence.
No, there's going to be violence, and the reason... Is she
the
still
problem
talking?
With you is you've lost every ounce of anything that you have to stand for because you sound like a nut.
Jill, why don't you shut up, okay? I may be a gay man or a gay journalist, but I could pop a woman in the chop just a second.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute.
I can belt, I can knock her teeth out just as fast as... You know what? You sound like my mother. The one that contracted the STD from...
Black Gardner?
Women because of what happened to you. And I'm sorry...
By the way, your phone... By the way, Jill, your phone, this is your phone. That's your phone. I just wanted you to know that. Nice job. Nice job picking the phone out.
I guess you have a better one than I do, because you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
No, because I just bought a better phone.
Dude, I'm for real.
Talk about walking into a propeller.
Okay,
it's
Doug, what's the point here, man? This lady is making this point. If she wants to call it marriage, she can call it marriage.
No, she can't. No, she can't. That's the difference between me and the average
That's the difference
jackass.
Between straight people and you. We say this,
no,
if you want to get married, congratulations.
No, what do you mean straight people and me? What are you, like,
okay,
against gay people? You a homophobe? You're a homophobe.
Yeah, I'm a homophobe because I'm saying to you that you should be able to do what you want to do. You should be able to.
Well, the difference between me and straight people, there's a lot of straight people that agree with me. What do you think about that?
I don't know any.
It doesn't matter if you know them. There's a lot of them who agree with me. What do you think
about that? Okay, well, what about this? I'm going to hang the phone up because I'm going to keep listening because I want to hear the one that calls in that... They believe that what you say
is
all straight people are...
But we haven't had any straight people that agree with you, Doug.
We got straight people out there that are thirsting for a way out of beating their wives and throwing their kids down. Forget it.
Honest to God. I think that right there goes to show.
All right.
Total nut job. Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you for having my call.
Thank you. No, but thank you for calling us, Jill. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
877-876-PHIL. What happened to Doug, man?
I'll get him back on.
Well, he got frustrated there because I think what he's trying to emphasize, it is his belief, and I can't fault him too much, it is his belief that marriage has produced some pretty unholy unions. Now, having said that, to get rid of the word marriage, go ahead. I believe the gay people ought to be able to use the word marriage.
What are you looking at me for?
Because I'm talking out of here. I'll get Doug back on the line. 877-877. You're right. Why was I looking at you? You look like Doug Danger. That's why.
No, see, that's wrong.
Never mind. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
I'm going to throw a kid down a dumbwaiter.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. More of your phone calls coming up. Your father got back from Vietnam and what?
My father came back to Vietnam and discovered that he had a venereal disease given to him by my mother. And I can still remember my father going into the garage. What happened in those days, my father came back from Vietnam. He had, I don't know, probably it was a lot of money, but it didn't cost him anything. He had a lot of stereo equipment. He had Panasonic this. He had Sony that, and he'd go into the garage, and he'd put on that Panasonic tuner, and it made him feel good. And he'd come back from Vietnam with all his stereo equipment, all his hi-fi equipment, knowing that my mother, who'd been shacking up with some guy that, you know, rents cars at Avis.
Your father had gotten back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he found out he had a venereal disease.
That's right.
How do you know he didn't get it over there?
Well, you know, that's a hell of a thing to say about it. I mean, it's possible, but that's a hell of a thing to say about our fighting men.
And oh, come on, man! I mean, it sounded to me like your father, he's buying stereo equipment. What else was he buying over there?
Oh, so you're saying what? See, that's not going to change my mind about marriage. Just because my old man might have gotten it from, from Boku Sally. I'm talking...
You know what, Doug? Your father's got nothing to do with this, all right? Because if you make it about your father and your mother, then everybody, what they're saying is truth. You have some psychological issues with straight marriage, even though you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
That's right. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm speaking out on behalf of my father, who was a straight man and a straight Marine, and come back with... So I don't know what it is you're saying, but a Marine doesn't come back to Vietnam with a Chinese itch, because if you're saying what you're saying...
The Chinese itch.
If that's what you're saying my old man had.
And didn't get it from your mom. That's what I'm saying, okay? 877-876-PHIL. God, man, it sounds to me like we're off the topic here. Here's Ron in Salem, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Ron.
I'm saying to you that regardless, that's what marriage does.
Go ahead,
Doug,
yeah.
Doug, can you shut up for a second, please? Honestly,
don't tell me
to
shut up. Don't tell me to shut up.
Well, wait a minute.
I'll just talk more. Wait a minute. You just told me to shut up. Now you tell me to wait a minute.
Doug? I'm gonna put you on hold in a minute. Go on.
Why is it that you have to keep saying you're a gay man and a gay journalist? It's nauseating. It really is. You're giving me.
I'm sorry. You got an issue with it. You got an issue with that? You got
wait
an issue
a
with a guy being gay? You don't like a guy being gay?
You know what
I'm
you
a gay man
live.
And a gay journalist.
You live.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Your libs make me
you
sick. You're trying to break. You're trying to ruin another foundation of America. Marriage is marriage.
You've ruined it already. You've ruined it already. Raping your wives, beating your wives, beating your kids. Now you've done a good job.
I'm not married. I was married. I never cheated on my wife.
You were
there
married.
No reason
well, that's exactly. If more guys thought like you, we could clean it up. I'm not talking about civil union. I'm talking about civil union.
You want to ruin a foundation of another thing that's important in America? You want to ruin that, too? What else you want to ruin?
What do you mean? What's important about it if you wind up getting divorced? I don't understand.
What the hell do you think keeps society going? Man and a woman. They create a family. Families create more families. What are you, an idiot?
What are you, an idiot?
Are you an idiot?
You know that people get divorced? You know that people get divorced and raise their kids?
When you go to bed at night,
you think about the wife that you divorced. If society has kept going by marriage, how smart does that make you that you got divorced?
Doug, when you go to bed at night, you hop in bed with.
No, answer my question, man. Did you or did you not get a divorce? Yes, you did. You want to know why? Because you ain't too bright.
I got divorced because
that's what keeps society going.
So what? So what? It happens.
It happens. Well, guess what else is going to happen? Gay marriage. It happens. It happens.
Doug, were you ever married?
You want to talk about it?
Doug, were you ever married?
Was I ever married? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Were you ever married?
I'm a gay man and a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Question.
I have civil union. I get in civil unions, man, not marriage. Gays don't
have
a marriage because... I don't know, man. What do you call being married?
Married?
Were you had? Were you married?
Were you married?
Were you married?
Wait a minute. What is this about here?
You know what I'm going to do? I just might get on a plane and fly back to Salem and kick ass on some dumbass redneck in Massachusetts just to keep the show up.
Show up. I'm a lot more
interested in the
All right, now hold on for a minute here.
Hold on for a minute.
Both of you guys.
This is Doug, that is...
Hey, Ron.
What?
Doug, that's uncalled for.
Hey, this guy's pissing me off. Were you married? Hey, moron.
Doug, you go to bed at night with a guy or an animal, don't you? You do.
You know, someday I'm going to be going to bed with you. I'm going to have you sharing my bunk with me, sweetie.
No.
What do you think of that? Yeah.
No.
Spread the word in Salem, Massachusetts. Ron is going to be Doug's girlfriend. I swear I'm going to make that my personal project, sweetheart. I'm going to make it my personal project, sweetheart.
Individual. You really
sick? Oh, does that make you sick? Does that scare you, sweetie?
All right, look at Doug. Stop it.
No, this guy started it. Civil union.
Liberalism is a mental disorder. Honest to God.
Embolism? What is it?
Liberalism.
What's it called? Liberalism? Yeah. What's the liberalism we're talking about?
Doug, you know what? What happened? You had a bad experience with a woman? What did she treat you? Did she walk
no,
over
I'll tell you?
See
what? I had a real good experience with a guy just like you. In fact, it might have been.
I said with a woman.
Yeah.
You don't listen to
not, no. I had a real good experience with your. I had a real good experience with your old lady. Maybe that's
why don't you get Doug,
oh, God.
Here is, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I know. I had a very good experience with a woman, your wife.
Yeah, which one? You don't even know what would you hate your mother?
The last one, that last one. That last
so
one that she said to me, and I hate to say it, I don't want to, you know, break any confidences, but she said, you know the term cocktail friend? That was Ron.
Okay, all right. That's it. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Ron. Doug, I think that's the most juvenile thing that I...
No, what do you mean juvenile?
Cocktail Frank.
Well, he pissed me off. He's telling me all about how I'm, he called me the F word.
No, he didn't. He didn't do any of that stuff.
You know, I hate coming on your program, man, because I wound up sounding like an ass.
Yeah, well, you got that right.
Phil Hendry.
I'll never come on it again.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not
all right, are you going to think this is maybe a foreshadowing thing for the future?
Today it is with deep sadness that I acknowledge the loss of Senator Ted Stevens.
The ball was coming and I was going to catch it, but then it was in the light.
What comes next is entirely up to you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, the only news talk and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. We lay it on the line. We take it to the next level. We go through the looking glass to find that truth and maybe a couple of laughs on the way. And I'll tell you something, that's the last time Doug Danger's on this show for a while.
But he almost lost it.
What was his problem?
I don't know what his problem was. He's talking about how... If you guys missed our last hour, Doug Danger, he lost it there with that last caller. I don't know what his problem is. He's always been a bitter, angry guy. I had no idea his father was a Vietnam veteran. And he blames his mother for his father getting a venereal disease. That I said to Doug, well, maybe he got it in Vietnam when he got back. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. But he blames his mother first with a gardener, then with a guy that drives a Miller truck, then with a guy that rents cars for Avis.
Where's his mother getting around, renting cars and drinking beer and then having a gardener, huh?
Renting cars and drinking beer and having a gardener?
Man, that means she's drinking beer because a Miller driver. She's got a whole beer truck.
She met the guy somewhere. What has this got to do with anything? I don't know. But Doug was flipping his lid there as he talked. Well, I tell you what, download it tomorrow if you missed it. You can download the show tomorrow off of iTunes, bookmark. Bunch of places off our website, and you can listen to Doug as he came unglued there. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll tell you the biggest magazines in the country, and some may surprise you. A baseball fan gets
called out by the play-by-play announcer for being a bad boyfriend at an Astros game. Netflix to stream more movies online, 877-876-FILM. Here is that runaway. We've got a follow-up on that dude, that JetBlue guy.
That guy is gay, by the way. We were be able to verify because of the picture, and I don't know if you'd seen it or not, but we did verify it.
Yeah, we got the confirmation. What confirmation are you talking about?
The picture they showed of the guy, he's all, ooh. You ain't seen that?
That's not confirmation.
Yeah, but you need to see the picture.
Yeah, you got to see the picture. The guy's all, ooh, and he had...
You shut up for a minute, man. How is that confirmation?
You said that Art Griego said he's gay, and you said you got confirmation.
Yeah, but that's not getting confirmation by looking at the guy's picture and he's all, ooh.
Well, you should have seen it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. But he is gay.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, it ain't so fine because now he has HIV. But here's what I understand from this entire story, and I think Art was right about this. How is it the fact that this guy is gay? What's this got to do with anything? It's got nothing to do with it.
I think the thing is because he's gay, that's why he got nervous and had a hissy fit.
See, that's the homophobia right there, man. That's like total homophobia right there.
Why?
Oh, he had a hissy fit because he's gay.
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying anyway.
No, they ain't saying that. That's what you two idiots are saying. His name is Steven Slater. He's the JetBlue attendant who told a passenger to F off, grabbed a beer, then fled down an emergency slide. He's told police he's HIV positive. Maybe he's under a lot of pressure from that. Sources told the New York Daily News, if that weren't bad enough, neighbors say his mother is dying of lung cancer. She's had two chemos and the prognosis is not good, said one woman whose son lives with Slater. She described the 38-year-old as a nice guy. Slater was arrested after the incident and was arraigned in court today on reckless endangerment and criminal mischief charges. What reckless endangerment? Oh, because he opened up the...
Yeah, I was going to say, how did he recklessly endanger nobody?
Yeah, but if you open up the door on an aircraft, it could be considered reckless endangerment if you don't have the permission to do that either from the pilot or any emergency services that are around there. And then throwing that slide out there, it probably, on some level, was endangering someone. So anyway, he was arrested after the incident. He was arraigned in court today on reckless endangerment, criminal mischief charges. The defense had asked the court to release Slater without bail, but the judge instead set bail at $2,500. Slater was smiling as he left the courtroom. Well, that's good.
Yeah, but that's the bad picture. He's all like, woo, woo, woo.
Boy, bud, you really do that pretty good.
Yeah, man, I was going to say.
What's that mean?
Well, you're all like, you know, doing it. Are you gay?
No. All I'm saying is when you looked at a guy's picture, he's doing this. He's going, woo.
I heard you the first time, man.
Wow.
Well, what about it?
First of all, I saw the picture you're talking about. He wasn't going, woo. He had the picture, and he's like giving this smart-ass smile, okay?
Well, to me, though, it looked more like, woo-hoo. That's what it looked like to me.
What does that mean? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
What? How come you're agreeing with him?
I don't know. I don't know what it means either.
What does it mean when the guy goes, woohoo, or whatever that was?
No. If you look at a picture, it looks like he's going, woohoo, like that.
No, it doesn't, man.
That's what it looks like to me.
No, it doesn't. It looks like he's going, like he's smiling.
How are you doing that?
Like he's going, like that.
No, I think he's going, woohoo.
No, he's going, will you get out of here with that?
Do that again, man.
No, I ain't going to do it again. So this poor man, this JetBlue flight, I say poor man because I got to be honest with you. I kind of agree with Art on this one, man. I take the side of the flight attendant. You know, I bet you they put up with more crap. This guy flipped his lid, so he flipped, all right? Some guy tells him to F off. So Steven Slater, the JetBlue flight attendant, who activated an exit chute on a just-landed plane at Kennedy after a dispute with a passenger Monday and slid to notoriety, did not post the $2,500 bail set by the judge. And he remains in custody. That's according to this story from the New York Times. Though friends were said to be trying to raise the money for him, and a Steven Slater legal defense fund on Facebook has already attracted dozens of members, Mr. Slater was placed on a bus around 2:30 p.m. and driven from the courthouse in Queens toward Rikers Island. And
what's that?
That's where the jail is. At the arraignment on felony charges of reckless endangerment and criminal mischief in a packed courtroom in the basement of the criminal court, Mr. Slater's court-appointed attorney, Howard Terman, said that Mr. Slater's activation of the slide was not reckless. He said Mr. Slater followed the proper procedure for activating the slide, checking out the window first to make sure no one was on the tarmac, and who could be struck by it. Mr. Tooman of the Legal Aid Society offered an account of the... Boy, you guys at JetBlue, you might want to pay your people a little bit better.
Yeah, no kidding, man. All legal aid and all this stuff. And the guy can't even post bond.
Of course, he might be just spending it all on dope. I'm kidding. Offered an account of the flight JetBlue 1052 from Pittsburgh. He said that he was justified. He said that he justified Mr. Slater's actions. He told reporters that on the ground in Pittsburgh, a female passenger had been verbally and physically abusive to Mr. Slater when he intervened as she squabbled with a male passenger over access to the overboard luggage compartment. The woman initially at Pittsburgh slammed the overhead into his head, said Mr. Terman. That day, she slammed this thing into Mr. Slater's head.
That's a flight attendant.
Yeah. So a passenger on the flight, Gregory Kansas, as in the group Kansas, no, is actually spelled K-A-N-C-Z-E-S. So that would be like the state of Kansas in...
like Russia.
Yeah, if it was in Russia. Greg Kansas said that he saw a large, fresh-looking gash on Mr. Slater's forehead at the beginning of the flight. It was about an inch and a half long, and it was a big red mark or a cut, Mr. Kansas said by phone on Tuesday. There was no bandage, so this man had been injured, at least according to this one witness, by someone slamming this overhead bin shut. In previous accounts offered by the authorities, Mr. Slater, his main altercation with the passenger had come at the end of the flight, not the beginning, with the passenger pulling a bag out of the overhead compartment that struck Mr. Slater in the head. The law enforcement authorities have declined to identify the passenger and would not say if she had been interviewed. JetBlue said it could not release the passenger's name because of privacy rules. Meanwhile, in an interview on the celebrity news website TMZ, a woman who probably just couldn't wait to talk to TMZ, who says she was married to Mr. Slater in the 90s. Well, they really dig him up, don't they?
Are you kidding me? How'd he find her out?
Who knows? This guy isn't, he's not in court one day, and now he's over on Rikers Island. All of a sudden, out from underneath the baseboard comes some chick he was married to in 1990 with her hand out.
Boy, no kidding, man.
I don't know, remember, maybe TMZ dug her up. She was married to Mr. Slater in the 1990s and remains friendly with him. She said that she talked to Mr. Slater's ailing mother after his arrest on Monday. The woman, Cynthia Suzanne, said that Mr. Slater's mother told her that Mr. Slater said that the passenger had maliciously pulled the compartment door down to hit Mr. Slater in the head and that the altercation had occurred at the end of the flight. The version offered by Mr. Terman indicates a longer simmering animus between the two parties.
What's that?
Animus, anger or dispute. Mr. Terman said that on the ground at Kennedy, the tension flared again when the female passenger tried to get her bag out of the overhead before the crew had given permission and Mr. Slater instructed her to remain seated. Mr. Terman said the woman was outraged and cursing at Mr. Slater, who wanted to avoid a conflict. Law enforcement officials said that after the passenger cursed at Mr. Slater, he grabbed the intercom, cursed her out, bid passengers goodbye, grabbed a beer, activated the inflatable exit chute. In court, an assistant district attorney, Benjamin Martell, said that Mr. Slater said over the plane's intercom, "Those of you who have shown dignity and respect for 20 years, have a great ride," before making his final exit. When asked why Mr. Slater chose to avoid the conflict by taking the emergency slide, Mr. Terman replied, "It was right there."
Sounds to me like he flipped.
Yeah, I mean, if all that other stuff is true, and the fact that the guy opened up the emergency chute, that shows he flipped.
Yeah, I think he flipped his lid. I think he might have had an argument had he not have flipped it. Had he not flipped it out, you know.
Flipped it out.
Well, don't you think?
Yeah. I agree with you that it prejudices his case that he opened this emergency chute up. That it does make him look like a real nut job. On the other hand, I don't think anybody who is a reasonable human being doesn't recognize that flight attendants have got to put up with some real stupid, crude, and rude people. And you know it as well as I do, man. When they tell you to, you know, don't unbuckle your buckle until the damn light is off. As soon as that cat slows it down, you can already hear the click, 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 click.
Yeah, no, and everybody's going to get up and stuff.
And they're standing up, you know. Now, a lot of times the flight attendants won't say diddly squat because you're right at the gate. But if the guy has slowed it up because he's waiting for traffic to go by and he's still a long way away from the gate, but he's slowed it down, maybe even to the point of stopping, that's when they're going to say, hey, keep seated because we ain't done yet. You know?
Well, I don't know about that. Every time I ever unbuckled, they're already at the gate.
You've never had the pilot slow down in the middle of like a runway, you know?
No, not that I know of.
Well, it happens to me. It happened especially when they're doing any kind of construction, like when they were redoing LAX over here, man. During, you know, before the Olympics. Oh my God! You know, you're having to wait for 15, 20 minutes for traffic to get out of the gate, get into the gate, wait for this guy to go by, another guy's going by, and I got 16 guys lined up to go out here, another guy's lined up, you know. So they're always telling people to shut up and sit down. Actually, they should say shut up and sit down. They ought to just say, shut up and sit down.
Yeah, but then they'd be sued for being rude and everything.
Probably. All right, 877-876-PHIL. One Astros fan may be the worst boyfriend ever. We'll tell you why. Plus, World War II could have been avoided. That's what they say. Ask Pat Buchanan. He wrote a book about it. I'm kidding. 877. Actually, no, I'm not kidding. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, I'm going to look at this Michelle Obama thing. Yeah, I ain't talked about President Obama in a while, and I have said that I'm bitterly disappointed in how he has treated this ongoing challenge for our military in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm just very disappointed. Just, I don't know how else to say it, man. You know.
What about the rest of the stuff he's doing? He's butchering, everything's getting butchered alive.
No, I don't necessarily think everything's getting butchered alive. I think when it comes to this economy, there's all kinds of... I sat down today and I had a conversation with a guy who's very, very intelligent. This cat is... Frankly, he's handling my retirement fund.
Who is he?
I don't want to give his name out, but Dave. That's Dave. And Dave is a smart guy, man. And by the way, he recommended a book... Michael Lewis just wrote it. What the hell? Hey, Jace, look up the last book that Michael Lewis just wrote. And really, it came down to what we all have suspected, what I've suspected. I said to Dave, check me out on this. Is it not just, it's not just criminality. It is, he said it was a lot of, Dave said to me, it's a lot of people walking away from the store. The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine. He recommended it, so let me recommend it to you guys. I haven't read it yet, and I'm sure that it's, you know, it's been out for maybe a year or so. Nonetheless, he said, let me tell you what happened. I said, what? When these jackasses were investing in these insurance stakes, insuring all of these toxic mortgages, right? And then making their money back when the toxic mortgages got packaged and resold to somebody else. Guess what? What they did when the bill came due? Because the bill would come due. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, somebody's got to get paid for these things. And it comes sailing back to these companies that were packaging them up and selling them to the next guy, and packaging them up and selling to the next guy. Well, there's one guy in particular, and he's mentioned in the book. All of a sudden, $90 million comes back to this guy's company. This guy that was one of many companies that invested, that helped people get mortgages subprime, right? $90 million. What do you think he did? Or was it 90? I don't know what it was. Was 90 billion or 90 million something? He locked the door to the office and walked away. Not in business, not home, man. I'm not accepting the bill. They walked away. This is much, much bigger than just a bunch of jokers that can't pay their mortgage. Because when a guy can't pay his mortgage, back in the day, he got his ass pitched out of his house. The guy couldn't pay his mortgage back in the day, or couldn't afford it. He didn't get a mortgage in the first place. But these clowns, this is where the problem started. There's always going to be people that can't afford a house, folks. There's always going to be a joker that can't afford a house. There's always going to be a joker that can't afford a car. There's always going to be a joker that can't afford this and he can't afford that. He can't afford anything. Does he want it? Yes. Have people wanted stuff they couldn't have for thousands of years? Yes. Has the American worker, you know what the man said, you know, in that great movie Warren Beatty did about Reds, you know, he said, you can't make the American worker want your revolution, man, because he wants what the rich guy has. You want the American worker to want your revolution? You want to know what he wants? He wants that house that guy's got. That's what he wants. So what happened? These scumbags came along and suddenly said, guess what? We're going to let you have it. Now, I submit to you, in all good reason, folks, that while there's always going to be people who want what they can't afford, the guy that gives it to them and then walks away when the bill comes due, and that's what these guys did. They just walked away. One of these people lives in my neighborhood. My kids went to school with his kids. Now, why am I saying all this stuff? Because Obama is in the news for a lot of things. Now his wife is in the news. Now, I'm going to tell you something, because I've been alive through a lot of presidents. I've been alive ever since my first president that I consciously remember is President Kennedy. I was born, I think, when Truman was still president. Eisenhower, I didn't know him from any other bald-headed guy. But I started getting hip to presidents with Kennedy and then Johnson and then with Nixon and Ford and all that. I have never seen a bigger issue made in a negative sense about a first lady's travels than with this woman, Michelle Obama. I don't give a crap what kind of an economy it is. We've had bad economies before. We were in the middle of a recession when Nixon was president. My God, that guy was traveling all over the damn place. He was going down to Key Biscayne, kicking it in all kinds of luxurious places. People weren't bitching at him about that. What they didn't like was the fact the guy was, he had all those Watergate guys running around. We had a bad economy with Jimmy Carter. We had a bad economy with Reagan. I never heard people make as big a deal about where people vacation than with this president and his wife. It's you can say whatever you want, and you can do whatever you want, and you can get people to believe whatever you want, but I ain't buying it.
Yeah, well, what do you call it? You're probably saying it on account of the race, huh?
I don't know what it is, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to say it's race because I can't figure it out. For love or for money.
What are you talking? She went over to Spain, right?
So she went to Spain. So what? You know, first ladies are just like vice presidents, and they're just like ambassadors. They do a lot of goodwill work. They go out and represent the country and the president. In America, we don't have a chief of state and a separate from a chief of government. The president is both. He is the head of state and the head of government. In Britain, they got a queen, and they have a prime minister. In other countries, they have the same thing. Here in America, we only have a president. So sometimes he has the vice president do stuff. He has the first lady do stuff. But to make a big deal out of this woman...
Then you say it's on account of she's black.
I can't think of any other reason.
Is it because you think she looked like a gorilla?
I didn't say that, okay?
Yeah, all right, you owe me.
What do you mean he owes you? We'll be back to the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
A gorilla.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now here's kind of an interesting follow-up, I guess. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs delivered harsh remarks about his party's liberal base in an interview to the Hill newspaper recently, dismissing the professional left as unrepresentative of liberals in America. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's like saying the extreme right is not representative of conservatives, but... Anyway, Gibbs and the White House, however, have sought to downplay his remarks while at the same time maintaining that liberal dissatisfaction with President Obama is misguided. You have to understand something, Mr. President. The word liberal is distasteful to a majority of Americans. Now, I don't say that's right. I don't say it's wrong. It just is a fact. Now, somebody in your White House, you cats have got to start playing this thing. You got to be a politician. You know, when you get to be a president, you're not a Republican or a Democrat anymore. I mean, yeah, sure, you run your party. Isn't that a big whoop? But when push comes to shove, you got to be smart. you got to be smart. That doesn't mean being a Republican or a Democrat. Sometimes being smart means getting as far away from those two things as you can get. Sometimes being smart means getting as far away from being a conservative or a liberal as you can get. Sometimes being smart means you don't want to be a conservative. Sometimes it means you don't want to be a liberal. That's what these jackasses don't get. And that's, with all due respect, that's what the American people don't get. Politics is a game. I understand that. That's a fun game to play, and everybody likes to play, you know, and everybody likes to hate on their favorite guy to hate on. But when the country's in distress, I mean, having some real problems, the first thing we do need is people to be broad-minded about things, open-minded about things, you know.
Well, what do you mean, being open-minded about it? If you're going to be a liberal, you got to be a liberal.
No, you don't. Not if things demand that you be conservative. Not if events demand a more conservative ideology, and that's one thing for conservatives to learn. Not always do things demand a conservative ideology. Sometimes they demand something else, like a more liberal ideology. To think any other way is to not be smart.
Yeah, well, you're talking about one time going 65 in a school zone. I didn't understand that.
What?
Yeah, you said that if you were driving through a neighborhood, like where a school kid lived, you should go fast.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, I did not.
What did you mean?
What did I mean about what?
You said that if you see a school zone and you see a little tiny kid, that you should gun it.
I never said that you should gun it.
Well, what are you talking about?
If you guys are talking about what I think you're talking about, I said that sometimes you go fast and sometimes you go slow.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, what's that got to do with gunning it through a school zone with little tiny kids on a crosswalk?
That's what I thought you said.
Well, he said it. Is that what you thought, too?
Yeah, we both thought that.
Well, you guys don't listen too good, okay? I never said, hey, when you're in a school zone and you see little tiny kids on a crosswalk, gun it.
Yeah, I thought it sounded kind of weird.
Well, you want to know why it sounded weird? Because it never got said.
Well, what are you saying, man? He's hearing things?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Well, that'd make... Oh, right, that'd make me schizophrenia.
The what?
What do you call it when...
When you're hearing voices, schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what you're saying.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if you're hearing voices. Hey, bud.
Shut up.
Yeah. Well, when you see a little tiny kid, man, gun it to the school zone.
Cut it out. You said it.
I did not say that. Think about that, man. What kind of sense does that make? What I was saying... Comparing it to the speed limit, I was saying sometimes you go fast, sometimes you go slow, sometimes you do it right down the middle, depending upon the traffic, the flow of traffic, and the needs. I mean, the politics is the same thing. I've always despised about this country that when we're in the direst of straits, when we are in the most serious of straits, that we all, like the dumbest people that ever walked the face of the earth, we all hug our damn political ideology like it's going to get us through, man, like it's the Bible. Anyway, Gibbs told the Hill that the professional left will only be satisfied when we have a Canadian healthcare system and we've eliminated the Pentagon. That's not reality. Hey, Gibbs, how do you feel about that, man? Oh, never mind. That means I got to listen to you talk. A number of liberal commentators have criticized the Obama administration on a range of issues, such as giving up on the health care public option. Gibbs is right, man. You ain't going to get no public health care option in this country. This is America. They don't want that. Let me ask some of you cats that are like far left people, okay? Where do you live, man? You live in America, and I understand that you want what you want, but you know that the majority of Americans don't want to go near a public health care option. As far as they're concerned, that's like leprosy. You might as well just have them touch a leper and then watch as their own noses fall off, man. They don't want to do that. And if you don't know, I don't care how liberal you are. I don't care how far left you are. If you're like Daily Coast liberal, if you don't know that, you're high on serious chemicals. I hear these people saying he's like George Bush. This is Gibbs talking. I hear these people talking like he's George Bush. Those people ought to be drug tested, Gibbs said in an interview. I mean, it's crazy. A number of liberal commentators have criticized the Obama administration on a range of issues, such as giving up the health care option, a lack of action on repeal the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the continuing war in Afghanistan, and for taking an expansive view of executive powers some have compared to former President Bush.
What did we say before Obama got elected? We said when he sits down and he looks in the inbox, suddenly he's going to see what the country's up against, and he's going to change his view, or at least be perceived as changing his view, on a number of issues.
Yeah, well, but are you saying he's like Bush?
I remember specifically saying on this show that he is going to be a much, he'll take a much broader view of things like the Patriot Act and other darling issues. I had people tell me the Patriot Act was this, that, this, that, this, that. Man, the Patriot Act ain't none of that. And they've, I think they've had countless judicial reviews. Only one very small aspect of the Patriot Act has been called into question constitutionally. The damn thing's on the books. It's been renewed with a Democrat in the White House. Get used to it. Gibbs also reported and said the professional left does not represent liberals in America who organized, raised money, and voted for President Obama. Gibbs laid a baby. Why would you retract that? Why would you? What are you afraid of, Gibbs? Huh?
Probably afraid Lady Gaga not going to, you know, let him backstage or something like that.
You think she probably let Gibbs backstage?
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Where'd you guys hear that?
I don't know. I think it'd be funny, though, if you found out that Gibbs was jumping Lady Gaga's bones or something like that.
What did you call her?
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Man, are you crazy?
I've heard people call her that.
Yeah, maybe that's what Gibbs calls her that, when he's jumping her bones. Jumping her bones. Lady Gaga. At a White House press briefing today, Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton, acknowledged that every single person in the White House, including the person who lives here, can be frustrated at times with the left. He added, however, that any frustration is extraordinarily minimal compared to the focus people have on the work they're doing. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever heard of that before? Well, yeah, sort of. I mean, Bush got the same thing from the far right. He did. I mean, Bush got the same thing from the far right, that he wasn't near conservative enough. I mean, half of these douchebags that talk about Bush now, these people that are conservative commentators, and, I mean, they were very disrespectful to Bush, talking about how the cat was, you know, if you want to know why it is the Democrats crap all over Bush when it comes to the economy and say that this is the result of Bush's policies, you want to know who to thank for that? Other conservatives. Conservatives and Republicans who did the same damn thing. Man, this is not the president. I mean, this is not conservative. Burton, however, reiterated Gibbs's point that there is a professional left who may not represent most liberals. You have to separate out what folks say on cable TV from what progressives around the country think about how things are going. I think people are pretty pleased we were able to get health reform done and end the combat mission in Iraq. This is where Obama's White House is stupid. No American wants the combat mission in Iraq ended if it means that Iraq is technically a defeat. And what does that mean? It means that democracy that we saw everybody walking out of the polls, you know, with the blue finger, you remember that?
Yeah, what was that about?
That's what they were voting with the blue ink on their finger. If that means that democracy doesn't survive, that's not going to be a win. I'm not going to be grateful for that. Some other jackball. I don't know who this guy is. One of the writers writes that professional liberals often serve as guides or curators for the frustrations for unprofessional liberals, regular liberals. He continues, voters are frustrated because for all of the president's legislative successes, there haven't been moments of clear triumph or moments of emotional catharsis. Or when there have been such moments, like when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff testified before Congress in favor of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they evaporate quickly. It's because you guys don't understand this country, you stupid bastard. Ambinder, whatever your name is. You don't understand the people. You don't understand the mood of the country. You don't understand what it is the American people really want. You've completely misinterpreted why Obama was elected. Okay, Phil, why was Obama elected? I'll tell you why. Because Obama represented the closest thing to a fresh start for this, not necessarily radical change, but a fresh start, a restart, a rebooting of the computer, if you will. There's a big difference between saying, get rid of all that scum, and wait a minute, let's recalibrate and start again. There's a big difference. American people don't hate George Bush, and they never did. They were unhappy with him as a president there, particularly at the end. They were upset and they were frustrated, but they don't view George Bush as a bad guy.
any more than the majority of Americans view President Obama as a bad guy. They're probably confused by him more often than not. But the reason why Obama was elected president of the United States is because he was the closest thing to a brand spanking new, shiny, you know, silver dollar, man. We can start all over again now. Let's kind of start with some fresh ideas and some new ways of looking at things, and let's go, baby. Let's go. Oh, and yes, it did help that he was black. There's no question that a lot of people voted for him because he was an African-American, because having a black president would be a huge, huge morale builder for the country. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that don't agree with that, but most people agree with me. Most people that are listening to me right now agree with me. It was good for the morale of the country to see an African-American as president of the United States. And this was the right man. Intelligent, articulate, and now he's got people all pissed off and frustrated and crazy. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, people voted for this guy not because he was necessarily a liberal or a progressive, or the guy was going to green up the freaking planet, or the cat was going to make it all cool for gay people in the military, or he was going to make everything just all touchy-feely over in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's not why people voted for the guy. People voted for the guy because he looked like a guy who got it about a lot of things. And they could talk to this president through our representatives and, you know, have it make a little bit of sense and have some things done that the American people wanted. Now, a lot of the stuff he's done has pissed some people off. Sure, and it's going to happen. But they didn't vote for him because he was a liberal, man. And you got to understand that. They didn't vote for him because he was a progressive and he was a groovy-ass progressive and he's going to have all these progressives. They voted for Obama for a lot of reasons, a lot of them having to do with the fact that they wanted to see him win because he was a black man. They wanted to see him win because he was an intelligent and articulate and new voice in American politics. They wanted to see him win because they wanted to see all of the haters lose. They wanted to see this guy win because they didn't quite care whether it was Jeremiah Wright or anybody else. And they, you know, Hannity was whining in their ear a little bit too much. American people want to go their own way and do their own thing when they feel like it. It don't mean they're a bunch of liberals.
Yeah, but how do you know for sure?
How do I know for sure?
I just thought I'd say that just to keep you going.
Get out of here. I'll tell you how I know for sure, because look at this jackass Gibbs and the rest of these guys are all talking about, well, this professional left doesn't get it. Well, he's right about that. And look at how the left's treating the president, and they don't understand. Of course they don't understand. They don't know why he got elected in the first place. The professional left, that was the first group of people that we said would be pissed off when this guy got elected president, because they were going to find out that this cat was the furthest thing from a so-called progressive liberal, you know, or whatever these guys are calling it, establishment liberal guy. There is a thing called being pragmatic. And sometimes it makes you look like you are something that you're not.
Yeah, but you're talking about like how he was reading all about Abraham Lincoln and everything like that. Was Lincoln a liberal?
Was Lincoln a liberal? What kind of question is that?
Was Lincoln a liberal?
Yeah, I guess he was a liberal, man. He wanted to free the slaves. He was a Republican. But back in those days, Republicans were liberals and Democrats were conservatives. So the whole thing was... All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I almost did.
What are you guys talking about?
We went to the Dodger game. I almost had a foul. As we go out to the left field pavilion.
Yeah, all right. Go on the left field pavilion. I got my mitt. And a ball come that was a line drive shot, okay? That, I forget who hit it. I think it was Ramirez, all right? And I put my glove up and this sucker put his glove up and we missed the ball.
I had a shot at it.
All right, hold on, because we're back on the air. What are you guys talking about, catching foul balls?
No, it was batting practice.
It was before a Dodger game, they're taking batting practice.
Yeah, we out in the left field pavilion.
So the line drive came, and did you guys have your gloves?
Yeah, we always bring our gloves.
So what'd you do, Robert?
I put my glove up, man. I had it. And this dumbass come up, stick his glove right up there.
No, I did not do that. I did think I had it, but it was way over your head, way over my head.
No, it wasn't, man. I had it.
All right, well, let me... Because they were talking about that, because I was telling the guys, and welcome back to our show, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Now, listen to this. This is in, I guess it's at the Astros game. Was it at the Astros game in Houston? A young woman was struck in the arm by a Chris Johnson fly ball during last night's Astros-Braves game at Minute Maid Park. I guess that's Houston, because the Braves play it. Where is this, man?
Oh, Minute Maid is in California, because of orange juice.
No, it isn't. It's, what do you mean, because of orange juice?
Yeah,
because
ain't that where it is?
No, man, this is in Houston. The Astros, I don't know. Anyway, a young woman was struck in the arm by a Chris Johnson fly ball during last night's Astros-Brave game at Minute Maid Park. The reason? Her lion-hearted boyfriend jumped out of the way of the ball because he lost it in the lights. So it was a big arcing foul ball, is that it, or a fly ball? It was a Chris Johnson fly ball during last night's Astros-Braves game. Her lion-hearted boyfriend jumped out of the way of the ball because he lost the lights. I can't stand these stories, man. I can't stand them.
Why?
Because they're so badly written. Was it a foul ball? I guess it was a foul ball. You know, there's no fly ball when it's foul, man. And this was written by a sports website, something called Sports Grid. And the reason why I want to know is I want to tell my audience exactly what happened, but I'm continually getting these stories that are so poorly written. First of all, the Astros-Brave game, okay, that's in Houston, because God forbid the story should tell us where it is, and the way that they have stacked the names of these teams, when you put the Astros-Braves that way, the visiting team comes first. But no, this is the home team. All right. Now the cat lost a, quote, fly ball in the lights. Well, was it a home run? Was he in fair ground? No, he was in foul ground. I don't know, because the story won't tell me. The guy identified later as Bo was then rearmed by, was then reamed by the Astros announcer for a solid 2 minutes, scolded for his lack of a gentleman's backbone. I think the girlfriend is owed a nice steak dinner, said one of the announcers. As the Chivalry is Dead proclamation continued, an Astros reporter interviewed the couple, further putting over... Can't read... Some guy's funny crap. All right, let me just, I'm going to have to just make this up as I go. Apparently, this stupid bastard didn't want to catch the ball. He got out of the way. His girlfriend got hit.
We're going to call him Bo the Bailer because he bailed on Sarah. Sarah, you knew the ball was coming your way, you told me, when you got these seats. Where was your boyfriend here?
You know, as soon as I got here and I saw where you were sitting, I was like, baby, I'm going to get hit. And he was like, no, you're not. I'll catch it if you do. I promise. We've just had this conversation. And then sure enough, the ball comes at me and I go, baby. And he just bailed.
Then she said,
the ball was coming and I was going to catch it, but then it was in the lights and I lost track of it. So I just bailed.
Yo, caught in the lights. All right. I got some sunglasses for you, Bo, there for the next one. But, you know, when you lose it next time, you should go towards your girlfriend. Protect her. Don't go the other way like a little chicken.
All right. But
you did get the ball.
Yes, sir.
And then she said,
all right. You're going to, think this is maybe a foreshadowing thing for the future that he might not be by your side?
Maybe I do need to reconsider this hit. Right.
We're going to be a good sport next time. We're watching it. All right, guys.
He didn't want to
okay, bye.
To that in great depth.
Okay, bye.
Love the excuse.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. All right, that's that. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhenryshow.com. Listen to the podcast. Listen to the PhilCast when you can, our videocast. Get a backstage pass.
Phil Hendry.